If you think of the liturgy as a school, school of the heart, school of the liturgical or of the spiritual life, the season or seasons of Lent and Easter are like a special course, like a crash course, focusing on what's essential in the Christian life. And one of the basic elements of this course is prayer. One of the essential elements. Without prayer, you can't pass the course. So in today's readings, we have the example of prayer, Queen Esther, and we have Jesus' famous teaching on prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. Ask and seek and knock. I'm sure you know this gospel. Prayer, of course, is a very rich topic. It's simple enough that even the youngest child can do it. Children, in fact, rather naturally pray. They talk to God very freely. But it's also something that takes a lifetime to really master. We keep growing in the ways of prayer and understanding prayer. Is prayer simple or complicated? Is it easy or is it difficult? It's both, because prayer is not simply something we do. Prayer is conversation with God. Prayer has two parties, two sides, the children and the Father. On the part of God, it's very simple. Everything's simple for God. So that's no surprise. But for God, prayer is very simple. And that's why Jesus can say in this gospel, just ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. It's simple. That's, from God's perspective, very simple. Very easy. From our perspective, or in our experience, it's not always so simple. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's confusing to us, and sometimes very difficult. So contradictory. That's why we have to keep learning prayer. And Jesus, was it on Tuesday or yesterday, taught us the Lord's Prayer. That was on Tuesday. He made it very simple. You don't have to babble with lots and lots of words. Just when you pray, say this. And he gives us the simple prayer, the Our Father, and as if to say, see how easy it is, just talk to your Father, honor him, praise him, pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done, ask him for what you need, ask him to be set free of temptation, be sure and forgive as you're forgiven, that's it. But it's hard for us to do this. It's hard for us to persevere. Sometimes it's hard for us to see how it works at all. Sometimes it's easy. I don't get me wrong. It's not always difficult. Sometimes the simplicity of God, or the ease with which prayer comes to us from God, is met by our experience of the effectiveness of prayer or the power of prayer. We say, I prayed for this and it happened. It was so easy. Here in the psalm, there's an expression of this. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. I asked, you answered. I called, you answered. And now I give you thanks because you have responded to me in my need. There are lots of psalms like this, but there are also lots of psalms, prayers in the Bible, which are cries of anguish and questions to God. I called to you, Lord, and you didn't answer. I was in the depths of my need. I was in darkness. I was surrounded by my enemies. Where were you, Lord? So you see, this experience for us varies. Queen Esther, She is in a very difficult situation. She and all of her people are threatened with destruction. So the prayer that she's making is a prayer from desperation. A prayer from it's a life and death prayer. That's why at the beginning of today's first reading, it says, Queen Esther, seized with mortal anguish, had recourse to the Lord. Are you going to say to Queen Esther, oh, prayer is simple? No, it's not simple for her. She wants to make sure that she really presents her case and presents herself before the Lord, because if she doesn't, she's doomed. And all the Jews are doomed. So. And this is just an excerpt from her prayer, but you know, she really prays. She prostrates herself. She puts on penitential garments. She's fasting, and her attendants are also fasting. It's really difficult prayer. It's really intense prayer. Is part of what we can discover when we pray is that prayer does have this dual quality to it, God's side and our side, simple and complicated, easy and difficult. Also, we can experience that as being both powerful and seemingly ineffectual. Prayer is certainly powerful. It's a very powerful weapon. It can change the course of history. It certainly changes our lives. It can make the difference between life and death, between war and peace. But sometimes when we pray, it seems like nothing happens. So we have this powerful weapon. We pull the trigger, and nothing happens. This is our experience of praying for the end of the pandemic. We've been praying for a year for this. Still not over. In fact, we had the disappointing news yesterday or the day before that the quarantine is going to be extended. We were hoping it would be lightened up at the end of the month. No, it's going to be extended forever and ever. So what happened to the power of prayer? Again, we have to look at it from the perspective, from the experience of God and the experience of man, from the Father and from the child. Prayer is always effective, but children don't always know how their plea to their Father is having its effect. Don't give up on prayer, but don't reduce prayer to a command that we give to God. That's to distort prayer. Jesus in this gospel compares our praying to the Father with a child asking his Father for something. You who are wicked know how to give good things to your children. So how much more does God know how to give good things to us, his children? It's a great comparison. And all you have to do is think about how children ask for things, or how we, when we were children, asked for things. So the little boy goes to his father, Daddy, 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 I want a puppy. Please give me a puppy. I really want this puppy. It's so cute. It's so much fun. I'll be happy forever if you give me a puppy. I'll do my homework every night. I'll make my bed every morning. I'll never be bad if you give me a puppy. Now, in the mind of the child, that's a very good request, and obviously asking for a good thing. And he, the child, is right to turn to his father, or turn to his mother, turn to his parents, and ask for good things. The child thinks he has to convince his father of what's good, as if the father doesn't really know that that puppy is the one thing that will make him happy. So he begs him, please, please, please. And then he bargains with him. I'll be good. I'll wash the dishes. You know how children are. They bargain. They can be quite manipulative in their simple way. What does the father see? Well, the father sees much more than the child. He can see whether it would be good for this child to have a puppy or not. In fact, he knows whether that puppy will grow up to be an attack dog or not. He knows the much more than the child knows. He knows that the child's promises to be good are not really that solid because he's just a child. He knows whether the child can take responsibility for the pet dog or not, and whether it would be good for him to have that or not. So the father has in mind much more than the child. The father can even see through all of the manipulations. Oh yeah, here's the child saying he's going to do his homework every night. Maybe I'll ask him to do his homework every night for 3 weeks and see if he does it. And then if he does it, I'll give him a puppy. Now, that's how parents work. Sure, okay, you show that you can be responsible and that you are serious. Then we can give you something to honor you. Now, the child thinks, oh, he earned that from his father. And that's what we think about God. Oh, if we're good enough, we'll earn it from him. We'll make him give us a reward. It's not that. The father knows that that's good for the child to do his homework for 3 weeks. It's not that he has to pay him off. He's always doing what's good for the child. So we translate this into the divine level and say, well, God is always doing what's good for us. We don't even have to ask him. The reason why we have to pray is so that we place ourselves before him, so that we align our will with his will. We don't have to make God bless us or manipulate him. What about this thing about prayer being powerful or not? Prayer is a very powerful weapon, as I say. But if you point the gun in the wrong direction, the bullet doesn't reach the target. Or if you don't put the bullet in the proper chamber, it doesn't fire. Or if you drop the gun in the water, it won't work. In other words, a powerful weapon has to be used as it's designed to be used. Now, it's not right to consider prayer as simply a weapon that we control, because we're talking about a relationship with God. But just to keep the analogy, prayer can't be used, or the power of prayer can't be accessed if we don't do it the way it's supposed to work. We don't submit ourselves to God. Sometimes a powerful weapon has a long-range effect. You think of one of these lasers or a radiation, a beam of radiation. Can't see it, but if you direct one of these infrared, or I don't know what they call these things, a long distance, it can make something heat up or blow up a long way off. You don't even see it. So that's something like prayer. We're entrusting to God this intention. We're uniting our will with God, and we're saying, bring about this good. And then God, who sees the big picture, says, okay, I'm going to use this humble submission, this loving request, I'm going to use it for something really good. We might not see it. So these are all different ways to keep pondering the great mystery of prayer. I think today's readings, today's liturgy really is urging us to keep praying, to pray with wisdom, but also to pray with humility, to pray as children. Yes, we keep begging, we keep pleading, but what we're really doing is we're uniting ourselves with our Father in heaven. We want what's good, but we don't know what's good. So we unite ourselves with him. He knows what's good. Your will be done. The prayer the collect, the opening prayer of today's Mass, is quite beautiful in light of this. Bestow on us, we pray, O Lord, a spirit of always pondering on what is right. That's prayer, pondering what is right, because we don't know unless we hear it, listen to it. Pondering on what is right and of hastening to carry it out. And since without you we cannot exist, may we be enabled to live according to your will. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? It's an acknowledgement that we depend on God for everything. Then we ask him to be empowered to do things according to his will. That's powerful. That's a powerful prayer. Since today is the anniversary of the ENSA revolution, it's a good practical instruction for us. It took a long time to overturn the dictatorship. It didn't happen in one day, but that was the people power. The people power movement, the reason why it was so striking, not only in the Philippines, but in the world scene, is because it was a peaceful revolution. And that's why it was sometimes referred to not only as people power, but as prayer power. Prayer power. And not just the prayer of one day in February, but the prayer of people for years, the hidden prayer of simple people calling out to the Lord, asking the intercession of Our Lady and the saints, submitting themselves to God in all the hardships of those days. And God brought about a change. So prayer does have power to change things, but we have to be simple, humble, obedient, persistent children. Children who are warriors, who are in the battle of prayer, but who don't think that we have the power ourselves. We tap into God's power through prayer.